Mishnah Yomis for Shabbos Kodesh, the 11th day of Tevis, Tavshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Yevamos, Perek Chamish Asar, Mishnah Yud. We're going to continue talking about a woman who traveled with her husband overseas, and we're going to talk here about a case where she had no Yavam, no brother-in-law when she went overseas, but she testifies that she gained a brother-in-law. Her mother-in-law had a child overseas, but then died. Do we trust? Do we believe? Says the Mishnah, Nitan li yobam ibdin asayam. A woman who went with her husband overseas, at that stage she had no yobam, there was no brother-in-law at all, there was only one sibling, and that was her husband. She comes back and she says, oh, my mother-in-law gave birth overseas, and I now have a yobam. I have a brother-in-law. And then she comes and she says, Amra, my husband died, and then afterwards my brother-in-law died. Or she said, Yivami, my brother-in-law died first, v'chakach bali, and afterwards my husband. And therefore, I should be able to marry anybody I like. Do we believe her? Nemanis. We say we believe her. We say, since she went overseas, under the chazoka, under the status, that there's no Yavam involved, that there's no brother-in-law here, therefore, she's not changing that status at all by saying that she gained a brother-in-law overseas, but he died. We call it Pesha Osa Pashita. The same mouth that made herself Osa by saying, I gained a brother-in-law overseas, we believe that same mouth to now say, well, but he died. And therefore, she's released from that chazaka, from that zika of a yibam. Halcha hi uvaila liva yibam al dinasayam. What happens if she, her husband, and her brother-in-law went overseas? She comes back and she says, oi, tragedy. Omra, she says, Mace Bailey, my husband died. And then my brother-in-law. Or she says, Yavami, my brother-in-law died. And afterwards, Vachakach Bailey, and afterwards, my husband. And therefore, I can marry anybody I like. I've got no Yibum involved. I've got no Zika for Yibum because any Yibum that was there has now died. Do we believe her? No. We don't believe it. Why? Because when she went overseas, she and her husband and her Yavam went overseas, she was under chazaka that she's kukul Yavam, that she will require Yavam if her husband dies without children. So therefore now, by saying that my husband and my brother-in-law died, she's taking away that status of being kukul Yavam. That we can't trust. She'ein ha'isha namenes loimer meis Yavamit shetinaseh. The woman is not believed to say, my brother-in-law died, to allow her to get married to someone else without having chalitza. The only time we believed her is with legabe her husband. As far as her husband is concerned, the chachamim were lenient, and they said, we will believe her. Why? Because there is a chazaka, there is an assumption, that a woman will not get married until she investigates properly that her husband has died. She stands to lose too much, because if she got it wrong and her husband is alive, not only will she be also to the new husband that she married, but also to her old husband, and not only that, on top of that she loses a ksuba, and on top of that, if she had children with a new husband that she shouldn't have married, they'll be mamzer. It's like a case of an ashes issue got married to someone else. There's too much to risk. She would never, ever, therefore, contemplate even doing that unless she had properly investigated her husband died. But as far as her brother-in-law is concerned, they didn't believe her. Sometimes maybe she just hates him. She doesn't want to marry him because of that. And maybe that's what she's trying to do, get out of the zika by saying he died overseas. V'loi meisa achosi. Nor is a woman believed to say, oh, my sister died. Shetikonis leveso, so that she should be able to marry the husband of her sister. Why? Because she doesn't ruin any of her life. She doesn't ruin herself if she gets married to the brother of her, to the husband of her sister. And therefore, she doesn't stand to lose so much. And for that reason, we are worried that maybe she didn't make a proper, thorough investigation as to ascertain that her sister has in fact died. A man, by the way, is allowed to marry the sister of his wife if his wife had passed away. That's the only time. Can't do it if he's just divorced from his wife. V'ein ha'ish ne'man lo'iman meis achi she'yayabe mishtai. Further says the Mishnah, a man is not believed to say my brother died so that I can now marry his wife. Can't do that. We are worried that maybe he's got his eyes on his on his brother's wife. V'lo meisa ishti. Nor can he say, is he trusted to say, oh, my wife died. Shita zachosa, so that he should now be able to marry her sister. Same reason. Maybe he's got his eyes on her, on his wife's sister, and he's fabricating it. The Rambam writes, the reason is because the Chachamim only believed a woman as far as, or one aid, one witness, because of Hatorah v'Gunas, in order to allow a woman to get married. And it shouldn't be chained, and not being able to get married at all. And the reason is for the same thing, same reason as we explained, there's a chazaka that a woman, an eshesish, is not going to get married and to someone else until she really is sure that her husband has died. Or in the case that we said before earlier on, where it's a pesha, has pesha, also peshita, where the only way we would know that she's also is from her words, so she can undo that chazkas isur. Perek design, new chapter, Perek Shishasar, Mishnah Aleph. A woman whose husband and her rival wife, or her, the rival to her, I should say, went overseas. So her husband was married to two women. She's here, and the other wife went overseas with her husband. And there were no children. Her husband had no children at all. They come and they tell her, "Meis balech, tragedy, your husband died." Can she get married? Later, not say. She can't get married. Why? Because since she'd had no children, there were no children for her husband when he went overseas, so she has a chazaka that she's kukuli yibum. She has there's an assumption that she will require yibum if in the event he's dying. So she can't now come along and say, oh, I can get married. But the lotus yabim, nor do we say that she can't get married either. Well, why can't she get married? If we trust a woman to say her husband has died, why can't we allow her to get married and have yibum? Ad sheteda shemo beresiv tzarasa. Because the complication here is that the tzara, that the other wife went overseas with her husband, and maybe that other wife was pregnant, or is pregnant, and maybe she'll be able to have a viable child. And if she has a child, that means her husband does have a child and he's not allowed to have Yibum. She's not allowed to have Yibum then. Or maybe, so the Gemara says, well, okay, I understand that, but don't do Yibum, but at least do Chalitza, and then she can go get married. No, the Gemara says we can't do Chalitza either. Because if Chalitza is done, and should it turn out later on that the rival wife actually gave birth to a healthy child, that would mean that her chalitza is a non-event. Non-event, it was not needed because her husband had a child from the other wife, but had a child. There's no yibum required, no yichalitza at all. And any chalitza done is totally a non-event. It's like it has no validity. And if that's the case, it'll be necessary to say that she can marry a kohen now. And she doesn't become posel because of that chalitza. What's the problem with that? The problem is that someone might hear about the chalitza, but may not hear about the disclaimer or about the fact later on, the announcement that the chalitza was a non-event. And if they see her now getting married to a kohen, they're going to say, ooh, chalitza is allowed to marry a kohen, a woman's at chalitza. And because of that danger, what people might think, so we don't want her to do anything. Can't do yibum and don't do chalitza either. And let's wait and see what happens with the rival wife. And she can't get married to someone else either, because maybe she is kukuliba. Hosalachamois. Before we go there. So chalitza she can't have. Now, if she was anyway psula for the kohen, let's say she happened to be a divorcee, if she from before, then he's allowed to give a chalitza. Why can he give a chalitza? The yavam can give a chalitza because there's no problems. There's not a worry that she might get married to a kohen now and that people will start saying that a chalitza married to a kohen. No one's going to say that because they know, because she can't get married to a kohen. She's a divorcee anyway. So where there is no problem about what people might say and people will be mistaken in saying a chalitza is mutter to a kohen, when there's not that issue, then we will allow her to give her, to have chalitza done to her, and then she can get married afterwards to whoever she wants. What happens if she had a mother-in-law, she a woman, her husband died, no children, no brothers, and she had, her mother-in-law's overseas? There's only one possibility where she could get into trouble. What happens if her mother-in-law gives birth or has a child? Says the Mishnah, that she doesn't have to worry. She doesn't have to worry. Maybe her mother-in-law gave birth to a son. And if that's the case, then that son is kukulibum, and she's kukulibum, she needs to have yibum done to her. Or chalitza. So, and she have to wait till he grows up to do that. But do we worry? Does she have to worry about that? And the Mishnah says, Eino chasheshes, that you don't have to worry. Yotzasom malaya, but if she went, if her mother-in-law left town, left overseas when she was pregnant, then chasheshes. Then she really has to worry, oh, maybe my mother-in-law gave birth to a son, and she is kukka to him for yibum. Rabbi Shua says, she does not have to worry about that. Why? Because there's two sfeikas here. There are two doubts. Number one, maybe her mother-in-law didn't give birth anyway. Maybe she miscarried. And number two, even if she did, maybe it was a girl, Nekeva, not a boy. And the only problem, is if there's going to be a zocher, a boy, because that is the problem of a yavam. So Rabbi Shua says not to worry, even if she's pregnant. However, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shua. Halacha is that if her mother-in-law left town when she was pregnant, then we have to be concerned. She has to be concerned. Maybe there was a yavam born, and if there's a yavam born, a mother-in-law born, then she has to wait, and she has to wait until he grows up and give her chalitza or yibum.